thanks for joining us here as we talk each and every Monday some college sports 24/7 here in the South with Brent Baird of College Sports Notebook, 1010 XL Radio in Jacksonville as well. You can see him on First Coast News in Jacksonville, working from Lindy Sports to so many with the Florida Gator Podcast Show and more throughout the years, and being kind enough to join us every Monday at 5:30 Central Time here on the Sports Drive. Brent, I hope you had a great Father's Day first off, and that the weather is okay. I know that Florida's been seeing a lot of nasty weather, so hope everything's going well for you in Jacksonville.
Well, we've got almost nonstop rain today for some reason. I think it's probably because of the tropical storm that's a contributing factor. But regardless, we are in a month from now, we'll be in Hoover for SEC Media Day. So we're quite excited about that as we get closer and closer at this point to the season.
Yeah, the network doesn't know, but Drew and I have talked personally. We might just get a Winnebago and head up there to meet you. So we might be
cool.
Seeing you up there anyway outside. I'm going to be one of those guys with the Saban Bama lover signs with the face paint and all. There's going to be none of those people. You know that. So,
right.
Brent, I want to bring up this before we get into everything. The name, image, and likeness that came up today. We haven't discussed too much of it today. We got into more of a rant on Ralphie the Buffalo getting into the stands and other things, as my brain usually does. But we were talking about the name, image, and likeness. And today, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in favor 9-0 against the NCAA. But this is also not about monetary value when it comes to cash payments. It's more of from books to having a chance to have, you know, stuff that has to do with school or just gifts, more gifts than it is money. What did you think of the initial response? Because it seems at this point, when it's 9-0, this is not something where you had that one guy in the room sort of leaning one way. This is, hey, clearly these athletes are going to get paid somehow. But is this going to be good in the long run? Because sometimes what looks good, like getting a stimulus check at the beginning, and then you get your tax return back and you're like, wait a second, I was supposed to get $5,000. Why do I have $2,000? You're like, ha ha, we got you. We got the money back anyway. But, like, you never know what's going to happen sometimes. On the surface, we think things are great, and it could come out to be worse. What do you think of this whole decision?
I think that's really a good way of looking at it. You have got this, let's beat up the bully in the NCAA, and that, this is apparently what's happened here, and you get a lot of commentary throughout the day about that, and that is not stopped, that they can't limit the educational-related benefits, computers, paid internships. They can offer their sports stars. I mean, it's continued the pendulum swinging in favor of the athletes. Today was another really good example of that, but it's really easy to jump up and down and say that this is such a advantage now for the players. But I'm kind of with you on this. I really just don't know where this is going, about how great that it's going to be in the long run. Listen, people have never, I hope they thought that this was going to be the players getting $100,000 a year and getting paid every other week. I have no problem with them getting more from what they used to get, but I'm with you very much. I'm quite concerned where this is going after all the chest beating by the columnists today on Twitter.
Yeah, Brent, one thing too, and this came out today, I don't know if you saw in The Athletic, the alternate proposal for NIL. There's six conferences sponsored by the SEC, ACC, Pac-12, Sun Belt, and then the SWAC and the Mid-Atlantic Athletic Conference from the FCS. The proposal's more, it's trying to figure out exactly how they can make things as fair as possible, with some states having the NIL laws active as soon as July 1st. How necessary is it that the NCAA or Division I Council figure something out in regards to this alternate proposal before July 1st comes?
Well, it's going to be because, obviously, NIL is going to be one of the, I think along the playoff, one of the really the biggest changes in college football that we've had in quite some time. So, guys, the real problem here is the NCAA had an opportunity to really get behind this several years ago, and they just were too big and bulky and cumbersome to be able to do it. They really made a mistake by not dealing with it. And unfortunately, now they are paying the price. I mean, they still. I think, guys, when you look at something of this nature, when what is the enforcement part of the NCAA going to do now that you've got this? Meaning, if when a lot of these students, athletes, are going to be getting now. Used to be illegal inducements. How is that going to change the NCAA as far as how they deal now with these different schools? The basketball investigation, we've had the situation with Arizona State. I really just wonder now where in the next few months how all this is going to change.
Speaking with Brent Baird of College Sports Notebook, you can follow him on Twitter at Brent Baird, B-E-A-I-R-D. Now, looking, Brent, at the College World Series, Mississippi State goes out there. They set a record 21 strikeouts in the win over Texas. After what we saw and the winners for the folks out there, Vanderbilt, NC State, Mississippi State, and Virginia, and then the losers, Stanford, Texas, Arizona, and Tennessee, but after what we saw in that opening round, what did you think of the teams, and who do you think going forward is going to win the College World Series?
Well, Vanderbilt got off to a difficult start with Rocker, who obviously is one of the great pitchers. He did not pitch well, but yet Vandy battled back, and they were able to win 7-6. Which is very impressive. Nice win last night for Mississippi State. I thought they were going to give it up at the end at that point, too. I think what is interesting is Vandy beat Arizona, Stanford beat Arizona today, and Arizona was really, what we understood, the best hitting team in America. So that did not really bode well for them because they were 0-2. I mean, it's a credit to be able to get there right now. I still would look at Vanderbilt because I have the two best pitchers. But this Mississippi State team, you really can't ignore right now either. And I tell you what, this NC State team, I still give them a lot of credit. They are the ones that beat Arkansas. People may have forgot this, but Arkansas was the best team in America, so we thought. They came back and won. So, but again, the truly great thing about this series is we had games Saturday, Sunday. We've got them got one tonight. Tennessee in a big game tomorrow with Texas, elimination game. Mississippi State plays again tomorrow night. But and having Wednesday, Thursday. And Friday, then you get into some if necessary games at that point. And then, the great thing about it is your best of three, the championship series starts a week from tonight.
It's going to be exciting. There's so many things happening. I think last year at this point, when nothing was happening, we have an overdrive right now because the NBA playoffs are going on. A lot of the favorite teams are losing. You know that somebody up at TNT or ESPN that have the rights to the NBA, if they get like a Hawks versus Suns finals, they're going to be like, really? Okay, how are we going to sell these commercials? But when it comes down to looking at college baseball, a lot of the teams left and the ones winning, ACC and SEC, where a lot of that money is generated with fan base that go to the games, places that, you know, support their team throughout the year. So this is going to be exciting and I'm looking forward to the rest of it. Brent, I want to ask one more question here when it comes down to the SEC teams right now getting ready to go in college football. If you look right now at what coach is the best coach, somebody said, you know, Gus Malzahn's at UCF now. You've got Mike Norvell at Florida State, who did a solid job at Memphis, and I know you were a fan of, we talked about that before. And then also what you've seen with Dan Mullen and what he's done, his accomplishments from Mississippi State to Florida. And then you even got guys like, you know, the Willie Taggarts, and well, I shouldn't even have said that, but Manny Diaz, and I don't know why I put him in this reference, but Manny Diaz, Butch Davis is still at FIU. But who do you believe is the best coach, if you had to rank, because it's not an easy one, in the state of Florida?
Oh, I think right now,
like, if you're starting a team, who would you want to be your coach? If monetary value was not the difference between getting that coach, but if you're starting a team, this is the guy you want in the state of Florida.
I probably would go with Mullen at this point, because of nothing else. He is probably, I don't know if he's the best, but I think he's probably a little bit more dependable. It's kind of what we've said all along with Mullen, is we know where Mullen's basement is, and that basement is 9-3, 10-2, an occasional 8-4, or but we don't know how high it can go. We don't know if he can win a national championship or get his team in the playoffs. That's a thing that we don't know at this point. But I mean, when you look at these other guys, I think he wins it more on as much on experience than anything else. I mean, Taggart, no. I still think Norvell is going to be really good at FSU, but before it's over, Manny Diaz, I think is okay. I mean, he needs that time to develop and mature. I mean, to me, it's not Malzahn. I mean, look, anybody that averaged 4 or 5 losses a year his last several at Auburn, it's hard to have a whole lot of confidence about him either. So, I would say right now, by a little bit, not that much, it would be Mullen.
Yes, it is, and you know, it's one where all of them have had their ups and downs, and
yes.
So I mean, Gus Malzahn's the only one that's made a national title, but you just went from the school that ends up claiming a title because they beat you, and everybody else mocks you for that. So, but at the same time, I look right now and. Yeah, it's going to be an intriguing year because there's going to be a lot of eyes on Florida State. Can they get back to something? I mean, their fans, they don't need to be 11-1, or they just need to be, I mean, 8-4 will get the fans back feeling comfortable.
Yeah,
I think,
yes.
And Mackenzie Milton, if he's 75% of what I saw throughout his career as a Knight, they should be 8-4. Same thing with UCF. I mean, nobody wants to hear it, but they've been consistently, I looked at record over the last 6 seasons, and the only teams ahead of them with the best overall average record are the Ohio State, Clemsons, and Alabamas. So everybody else, you know, is behind them based on that they've been an 11-0, 11-1 type team, and then last year they had a couple losses. But it's going to be exciting. And then Florida, I think, do they stay there? Because they're just finally getting to the dinner table, Brent, it seems like, with the big boys back to feeling in that elite status. And Emory Jones and what we've saw in the early part of the career, the rest of the country, I don't believe, thinks that they're more than a 9-3, 8-4 team with them, just based on how hard that schedule is going to be.
It really depends on almost who you read. I mean, one day we'll see an article that talks about how much potential that he's got and how he is going to be the next really great quarterback in the league. But look, Mullen can take the three of us and do something with us. I don't have any doubt about that. But the thing we really just don't know right now is he can scramble and he can pick up a first down. But if you're going to stay and be the quarterback, you've got to be able to be accurate. As a matter of fact, I give him credit. Mike Farrell of Rivals.com even had a tweet the other day by saying, am I the only one around who thinks Anthony Richardson can win the job at Florida? So I think that's going to be the thing that's going to be important. But what Florida doesn't need at all, Chad, is a situation where they are swapping quarterbacks out in the early part to mid part of the season before they settle on one. And I know it was an injury, but similar to what Georgia did last year, or overcoming an injury, as they did with JT Daniels. So, frankly, it would be a huge relief for Florida if they can get the quarterback situation straightened out during summer camp so they can get up and going. And by having game 3 against Alabama, they don't have a choice.